Jesus' hour has come. All the Gospels use this word, the hour, meaning, of course, not 60 minutes, but the time of decision. You know, not one of the other words we use to measure time denotes decision in the way the word the hour does. We say, in a second, wait a minute. Well, not this week, not this month, not this year, not even this life, this age, bring us into the time of decision, the way the word, the hour, has arrived, brings us to the time. The day has dawned, the hour, his hour has come. Have you not been in a time like that? You know what the hour is like, where all the forces of countless prior decisions assemble like soldiers on a great field. And then, as the hour comes, the momentum of long decision, the intention moves inexorably toward its goal. And if the intentions that preceded the hour, if those intentions were mixed in motive, if the apparent goal seems dreadful, then the hour comes full of anguish and regret, guilt. Sometimes the approaching death of one whom we have loved comes not as an hour we dare face, for complex fears have prevented us from reconciling and coming to the hour with the fullness of decision. Sometimes the hour comes in pain, but sometimes not. Sometimes we stand in peace in the hour. Sometimes in peace. Blessed, blessed be whatever soul, whatever friend, whatever family are brought to the hour in peace, forgiven, and free. For then, be the hour a wedding, a birth, be it a trial, be it a calling to new work for which we are ready and willing, but not master. Be it a parting, permanent and hard for the heart, be it a death. If our God has set us at peace with the thousand thoughts that brought us to our hour, then, as its drama rushes up around us like a great tide, surging a boat toward us as if standing on a pier, we can move into that boat as if in the steps of a dance we must dance. And then we are blessed by our destiny in such an hour. This is the hour. Every early April, we're not quite there, but every early April, we Americans remember with astonishment the hour of our brother Martin Luther King Jr., who on the night before his life was arrested by the betrayal of a bullet, he was with his friends, and he said, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, But it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. His hour had come. As we pray for our brother Nelson Mandela, especially this week in his extremity, how clear it is that God brought him to his hour, not just one, the hour that sent him from a courtroom of injustice to the prison at Robben Island. His hour came. The hour that brought him thence to Pretoria to wring from the mop of filthy hatred the end of apartheid and a new possibility for his people, white and black. Perhaps soon and very soon will come Mandela's last hour. And we know something of how it is with family and friend and even perhaps former foe to assemble, and the hour rushes up around the living at the last, irresistible hour, awesome hour, unique. And then into the great waves through grief the living must row, necessary orphans of love. You know what it is when the hour has come. And now the hour of Jesus has come. What finally brought him here? The story is very plain on this subject. We, of course, have been drawn into the great vision of the great plan, but the story stays on the ground, the one we've just heard. Finally, says the story, he was brought to this hour for disturbing the peace of the people. It is as plain as that. The stories have it that Pilate, having examined Jesus and found him not guilty, not deserving of death for anything he had done, to the chief priests and crowds, he said, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." And the next words are, "But they were insistent and said, 'He stirs up the people. He's teaching throughout all of Judea.' You know, he comes from Galilee and he's down here. You know, he's an outside agitator." Now, a brief moment before we proceed. Christians have long had it that the Jews killed Jesus. The evil inside that idea is so extreme, it wants attention. Though there be no one in the room who holds it, it wants attention. The tragic flaw in Christendom through most of its history is this pattern of reading the text literally when it suits our purpose and abandoning the text altogether when it seems God might break in and change us. So God wants to get at our heart, to bring us to mercy, not sacrifice, mercy, not ordinary worship. God is wearied by our worship often, according to Isaiah. Historians find evidence of thousands of crucifixions under the stamp of Roman approval, even hundreds upon hundreds in Jerusalem, even in Jesus' times, surely we see this is state terrorism at work, doing then what it so casually and effectively does all over the world and in our own country and city today, which is to silence the people through terror raised up high enough for all to see and fear. Rome killed Jesus, for sure. As for the Jews, the story makes it plain that it was not Jews as such, nor Judaism as such. Jesus loved the patterns of his true religion. Rather, it was the common religion of the people that sought for Jesus' life. This all the world over endless human hunger to use the name of God to keep everything nailed down, nothing ever opening up to the possibility of God's future. While the people make themselves busy with whatever their concerns are, preparing this and doing that, attending to the details of tradition, back and forth, walking like ants on a little march they don't even understand, so taken up with the works of religion and control, there is not an hour where God can break in. This has been going on history long in every religion across the whole face of the earth. Ordinary religion is seeking Jesus' life. That's the tragedy of religion in human hands. All the scriptures attest to this, Old Testament and New. That is what sought to kill Jesus. Come on, Pilate, he's disturbing the peace. He's stirring up the people. He's teaching all over the place. He's an outside agitator who won't keep in his place. Kill him. And so, the Good Friday story is that if ordinary religion had relented, if ordinary religion had relented after Pilate had first examined Jesus and determined he was not guilty, if ordinary religion had let go and let Jesus go, then Jesus would not have come to his hour. And we would not have God's crucifixion, resurrection, calling us to our hour. We would not be who we are. But ordinary religion is not free and cannot relent. So here is a strange fact. May you ponder it all Good Friday long and Holy Saturday, should it come to you. Ordinary religion cannot let Jesus live. The ordinary fear of transformation, of new life, of being born again and again, and again, the ordinary fear of being born anew again leads people to hold to habits and superstitions about God and reality and my life which break God's heart. For God cannot break in. God is not a God of coercion, but a God of freedom. And so there must be this cooperation of our will and God's will. Therefore, Jesus comes to his hour again and again down through history, again and again put to death. Do you know that story from the Brothers Karamazov, where Ivan is with his brother Alyosha, who's gone into the monastery, and Ivan is so angry about ordinary religion. So angry. He says, you know, Alyosha, I have had a dream of the Grand Inquisitor. Some of you know this, I'm sure. The date is 1500 and something, and Jesus has returned to earth. It's a dream. And there he fares no better with ordinary religion than he did the first time. Dostoevsky tells it true through several pages. The Inquisitor, who knows full well the identity of his prisoner, nevertheless defends his sentence that this man be put to death. Here is a brief excerpt. The Inquisitor says to the unspeaking prisoner, "You thought too highly of man. 15 centuries have passed. Look upon them whom you have raised up to yourself. I swear man is weaker and baser by nature than you believed him. Can they do what you did? By showing them so much respect, you ceased to feel for them, for you asked far too much, you who loved them more than yourself. Respecting them less, you would have asked for less. That would have been more like love, for their burden would have been lighter. But we, the church, will tell them that every sin will be paid for if it is done without permission. The most painful secrets of their conscience they will bring to us, and we shall have an answer for all, and they will be glad to believe our answer, for it will save them from the great anxiety and terrible agony they endure in making free decisions for themselves. What I say to you will come to pass, and the dominion of the church will be built up. What I say to you tomorrow you shall see. That obedient flock who at a sign from me will hasten to heap up hot cinders about the pile on which I shall burn you for coming to hinder us. For if anyone has ever deserved our fires, it is you. Tomorrow I will burn you. I have spoken." Of course, this is a dream. Wild, a horrible caricature. And yet did not Martin Luther King face his hour for disturbing the peace? Hosea faced his hour for disturbing the peace. Isaiah for disturbing the peace. Ezekiel for disturbing the peace. Jeremiah for disturbing the peace. And the Lamb, who was silent as they led him to the slaughter, was killed for disturbing the peace. It is a warning worthy of Good Friday to see this, that when Jesus came to his hour, he came without fear, without regret. As we heard last night from Hebrews 12, with joy, joy for the opportunity so to demonstrate what a human life is for. Jesus also came to his hour, full certain that the people were right. He had disturbed the peace of the people. He had to disturb the peace of the people. May we never merely settle into our hopes of salvation until God breaks in. Amen.